Blog Talk Radio.
Talking sports and having fun doing it. Want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, as always, you'll get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show in a bunch of different places. iHeartRadio.com. Just look up Go4IT. Also, go to Stitcher, Paul Gant, look it up there. Also, go blogtalkradio.com/PGant. And also, go4radio.com. So, you have a bunch of different places to find this show. There is no excuse for you not to listen. Great show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. He's going to give us his thoughts, his opinions, his beliefs on this NFL season. Hot and heavy. Obviously, a lot of great storylines going on, but we're going to get to all of them. Also, talk a little NBA. NBA season is right around the corner. Wednesday, next Wednesday. Wow. We're going to get into NBA next week. Try to hook up my man Marlon, you know, talk a little basketball. But hopefully we can get that next week, talk some NBA basketball. We're going to talk a little bit today, but I got to start here. Eli Manning, the New York Football Giants, beat down last night by the Philadelphia Eagles, 34-13. And you look at the Giants, it's a team that's in trouble. 1-5 at this point, they're done. And if you're the New York Giants, you're almost looking. Here's the thing. A lot of great players in terms of the skill positions. Evan Engram, you know, up-and-coming tight end, where they drafted last year. Saquon Barkley, man, he is special. Woo! That boy is special. He's like the prototypical running back. That if you were going to build a running back, that's Saquon Barkley. Does it out of the backfield. Fast, tough, strong, hard to bring down. I mean, this dude is a beast. He's a monster. My goodness. You got, obviously, Odell Beckham Jr., Shepard. I mean, so there are some decent players. Decent skill guys for the New York Giants. But the reality is for the New York Football Giants is this. They don't protect the quarterback very well in Eli Manning. And Eli Manning, when he had protection, was just dumping it off, checking it down. And so they're not throwing the ball down the field like Odell Beckham said. He was right. They're not throwing the ball down the field. And granted, you do need a level of protection to throw the ball down the field, but they're not doing it. They're not having a lot of success. And you got Odell kicking fans and you know, just acting a fool on the sideline. Odell being Odell. But here's the thing about Odell. I think Odell, in order for Odell to be effective, Odell has to be that way. He has to be on the edge. He has to be, you know, moping and running around and, you know, acting a little crazy and just, he has to be on the edge. That's what you get with Odell Beckham Jr. He was a saint in the preseason. And then once he got his paper, he goes on ESPN and he's blasting, you know, basically blasting the offense, blasting the coaching. I mean, he's blasting his quarterback. if he wants to be in New York. I mean, this guy just was just talking all these different types of nonsense. And I know we want our guys to be, you know, keep it 100, as they say in the streets, be honest. Yes, he was honest. Yes, he kept it 100. He did all that. But you know what? There's some times where you can say some things, but you can't say it all. Like, you can be honest, but you can't be too honest. I mean, there's some things that's just not no one's business, just none of your business. There's some things that's just none of your business. And there's some things in terms of Odell Beckham and what he was talking, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. And Odell said just a little too much. Odell, I love your honesty. I love your candor. Heck, if you want to keep talking the way you were talking, by all means, do it. I would love it. I love it. I'm cool with it. Keep on keeping on. Say what you need to say. It makes for good television. It gives me something to talk about. So I love it. Odell, you can talk all you want. All day, every day, Odell. You can keep on talking. I'm cool with that. But here's the thing. I'm not one of your teammates. I'm not Pat Shurmur. So for me, it don't matter. But you got teammates you got to answer to. You got a coaching staff you got to answer to. You got people that you have to answer to. I don't in terms of that. Again, you can. I respect you telling what you believe is the truth. I respect it, man. I respect it. But here's also the thing. Here's also the thing, Odell. While I respect it, you got guys you have to answer to, man. You got guys you got to answer to. And so, I appreciate the candor, but dude, you were just too honest. Dude, you kept it 1,000. The heck with 100. You kept it 1,000. And so, I'm not mad at you for that, but there's guys who probably are none too happy about what you said, what you did. Here's what I will say. Here's what I will say. And I didn't mean to go this far and talk this much about this particular situation. I was going to talk about Eli. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, dude, you can't say these things. You can't. But when you got the money that Beckham got and you're making the money that Odell Beckham is making, at this point, you got power to talk. You got your paper. You got your paper. So now that you got your paper, you can be honest as you want to be. You can be all that you want to be and say all that you want to say. You can do that. Because you got your paper. You got your money. So ain't nobody can say anything to you at this point. No one. And in terms of Eli Manning, here's the thing. Saquon Barkley looks amazing. I got Saquon Barkley looks lovely. His ability to do the thing, his speed, his game-breaking ability, this dude's a home run hitter. He is a home run hitter, and every time he has the ball in his hands, you got to hold your breath. It's kind of like a Bo Jackson-type situation. Anytime that dude got the ball in his hands, you had to to hold your breath because you knew at any point, any time, this dude could take it to the house. And once he gets to the open, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Once Saquon Barkley is out in the open, it's a wrap. Once Bo Jackson was out in the open, it's a wrap. It was a wrap. And so, this dude, Saquon Barkley, this guy, special. But I know in the NFL, we've seen special backs who didn't win jack. Barry Sanders, a special back who didn't win jack. Bo Jackson, for that short period of time, a special back who didn't win jack. So at the end of the day, you can be that special back. But in the NFL, it's all about your quarterback play. It's all about the quarterback. That's why the quarterback gets the most money. That's why the quarterback the most money. You know why? Because he is the guy who gives you the best opportunity to win a championship. It comes down, to quarterback play and what your quarterback has to offer. You look at the last few Super Bowl winners. Just so I make myself clear and just so you understand that quarterbacks win championships in the National Football League. Last year we had Nick Foles, kind of an outlier, but at the same time, Nick Foles would not have been in that position if Carson Wentz didn't set the Eagles up. He put the Eagles in position to give them home field advantage. Kudos to Nick Foles for bringing it home. Before that, you had the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, enough said. Before that, you had Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning near the end of his run. Peyton Manning, who was carried by that Bronco defense. But you had Peyton Manning. Not the greatest example for what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, Peyton Manning had a role, played a role with that Bronco defense, won that Super Bowl in 2015. Before that, Russell Wilson. Before that, Joe Flacco. Before that, a young Eli Manning, 37 now, 32 back in 2012. When he beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. Before that, Aaron Rodgers. Before that, Drew Brees. Before that, Big Ben. Before that, Eli Manning. So I'm just going down all the Super Bowl winners, starting at Nick Foles and just going back. You get the point. It's all about quarterback play. And that quarterback play from those guys is what put those teams in position to win a Super Bowl. Period, point blank. So going back to the, now working myself back to the whole Saquon Barkley and that whole situation. I get it. Why the Giants did what they did. They felt like, okay, if we bring in a Saquon Barkley, who could be a generational player, and he's looking that way, if we bring in a Saquon Barkley, you know, we try to fortify our offensive line, bring in a Nate Solder, you know, move Eric Flowers. Ultimately, you release Eric Flowers, but let's try to draft on that line and just improve that offensive line. So with Eli, with an improved offensive line, with Saquon Barkley in the mix, Odell Beckham Jr., Evan Engram, maybe, just maybe, we can put together a team that can be a winner. But at the end of the day, the offensive line is not that great. At the end of the day, Eli Manning is not that great. So if you're the Giants at this point, I guess at this point, you're see what happens the rest of the year, but I don't think you could bring Eli Manning back next year. I think it's unless the Giants do some crazy, have some crazy turnaround. And I guess anything is possible in the National Football League, but if the unless the Giants have some crazy turnaround, I don't see it. I don't see a stout defense. I don't see an offensive line that can protect Eli Manning. And I don't see Eli Manning, when protected, a guy that can make enough plays for you. So, if you're a Giants, you know, maybe you go Locke from Missouri. Maybe you go Herbert from Oregon. Because you're going to be up there. Finley from NC State. You're going to be up there. But I will say this. Saquon is special. But if Rosen, Darnold, or Allen, if any of those three rookie quarterbacks, obviously you can't go Mayfield because Mayfield won one. But if any of those three quarterbacks turns out to be franchise caliber quarterbacks, the Giants made a mistake, in my opinion. If any of those guys turn out to be a franchise quarterback, the New York Football Giants would have made a mistake. Period. Point blank. That's the bottom line. And I understand the thinking. I understand their thinking. And Eli Manning, when he calls it a day, when he hangs up his cleats, he's a Hall of Famer. Two Super Bowl titles. You know, this guy is a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. He's a Hall of Famer. He's done enough in this league to when it's all said and done for him, his jersey, his bust will be in Canton, Ohio. I think there's, in my opinion, there's no doubt that this dude is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. And so you just look at Eli's numbers and you can say, man, this guy has been the model of inconsistency in terms of he's had some, it's been like boomer bust for Eli at times. But you just look at the numbers. I mean, obviously, you've seen seasons of 25 interceptions, 27 interceptions. You know, we've seen seasons like that from Eli Manning, but he beat the greatest quarterback in this generation, and Tom Brady. He beat him twice in the Super Bowl. And I know it's not just the quarterback who plays the game, but Eli beat him and was one of the reasons the Giants won the Super Bowl. So it's time for Eli Manning to go. And I think, hopefully he can have a level of dignity. They can show him a level of respect, you know, let him go out on his own terms on some level. Obviously, after this year, you hope that he'll say, you know what, I'm done, I'm moving forward. Or maybe he won't. I mean, maybe he feels like, you know what, he said it. Hey, he still feels like he has some good football left in him, and I wouldn't expect him to say it otherwise, you know. He said, look, told ESPN, he feels like he can still play in this league. He feels like he can still play at a decent level. He said after the game, quote, my confidence in myself is good. I know I can play. It's just a matter of we just got to figure out how to be more consistent and be better at home. So Eli feels like he can still play at a high level in this league, and I wouldn't expect him to do it, say anything else differently. I don't expect him to say anything different. But at the end of the day, like I said before, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, if these guys turn out to be franchise caliber quarterbacks, Gabe Gettleman and the New York Football Giants, they made a huge mistake. They made a huge error. That's the bottom line. But hopefully Eli can go out with a level of dignity. And I think when it's all said and done, if he decides to hang it up after this year or whatever he hangs it up, he's a Hall of Famer. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he belongs. He definitely belongs there. And when it's all said and done, I think he'll be there. And when he decides to give it up and decides that he can't play at the level that he wants to play at, or the level that is necessary to be a starting quarterback in the National Football League, I think he has to figure all that out in his mind, in his head, and then move forward. But I don't think the Giants can trot him back out another season. This year, 1-5, it seems it's a wash. The season is done. It's a wrap. The New York Giants, this, you know, some level of promise coming into this year, but it's over. It's a done deal. In New York City, it's time to see what you got. It's time. Do you go to a Kyle Laletti, a guy that you drafted in the third, fourth round last year? Do you look at him at some point in time? Do you look at a Alex Tanny at some point in time? Is that a guy you look at some point in time moving forward? I don't know. But if you're, you know, right now, let's look at the Giants schedule, and I can give you a better idea. But I believe they have the Falcons next. That's just off the top of my head. But I'm going to confirm that in a quick second. But they got the Falcons next in Atlanta. Atlanta is a desperate football team. I think Atlanta wins. I think they lose that game. The Redskins game is a game at New York. I think that's a game they can win. You know, I think they can win that particular football game. Not saying they will. At San Francisco after that, that's a very winnable game as well. So, I mean, but if you're like, what, 2-6 after 8 games, or if you're like, what, 3-7 after 10 games, what's the use of playing Eli Manning? What is the use of trotting him out there? It really doesn't make sense at that point that you keep trotting him out there and trotting him out there and trotting them out there, and trotting them out there. Doesn't make sense to do that. So that's the decision. Gettleman, Giant organization, they got to figure that all. That's their decision. They got to figure it all out. They got to determine what they want to do moving forward. But I know this, they got to do something. They got to do something. They got to. Let's go on. And just going back to the team that beat the Giants last night, the Philadelphia Eagles, and looking at the NFC East. The NFC East is a division that is not really a good division right now. I mean, the Giants stink. Cowboys are struggling. The Redskins are okay, average. And the Eagles haven't been playing that well. But if you look at the talent, you look at the rosters of all those teams, you got to say Philadelphia is the most talented team. You got to say this is still Philadelphia's division. I still think the Eagles will win this division. I still think the Eagles will turn around. It's a lot of talent on this roster. I think they'll figure this thing out. You got a franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz. I will say they got to do a better job of protecting him. They got to protect him better. I mean, he can't take the hits that he's been taking since he's come back. And also, you know, there was a sequence there, I believe it was like 2 or 3 straight plays where the Giants were just slapping, hitting his arm, which caused him to, you know, caused the ball to come out not so great. But, and Jason Peters, he has a bicep tear, but it's an injury. It's the type of tear where he can play through it. But Jason Peters doesn't look like the Jason Peters that we all know and love. I'm not saying Jason Peters is washed. I'm not saying Jason Peters is done. But he doesn't seem like the same guy that is going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done. He doesn't seem like that guy. But we'll see. They got to do a better job on the offensive line. Lane Johnson has to play better. Peters has to play better. They got to do better. They got to figure out this running back situation. You know, you lose J.J., torn ACL. He's done for the year. So you miss him. And so you got to figure out what you're going to do. Is Shady McCoy a guy that you want to bring back here to Philadelphia? Is Le'Veon Bell a guy that you have a level of interest in and you want to bring him into Philadelphia? These are the questions that Howie Roseman has to figure out. But the one thing I know about Howie Roseman that we've seen about Howie Roseman over the years, especially last year, he found ways to bring in talent. I mean, he found a way to bring in a Jay Ajayi, who helped Philadelphia win a Super Bowl last year. So he finds ways to bring in guys. So I got faith in Howie Roseman. I have faith that he can bring in the running back that this football team needs to be effective moving forward. I think he can bring it in. It's a matter of will he bring it in. But I think he can do it. And, you know, they were able to clear up some cap space, about $6 million, restructuring Fletcher Cox's deal. So they got some extra money to play with. So it's about what Howie Roseman's going to do and what moves he's going to make to get this Philadelphia team back to Super Bowl contention, and, you know, back in this mix. I mean, you look at the NFC. You figure, okay, Saints at 4-1, Rams at 5-0. Everybody else, Carolina 3-1, Chicago, the Bears at 3-1. But the NFC is wide open. Even though the Rams are 5-0, and I will say this, if I'm any team, the thing about the Rams, yes, they're playing some good football. Yes, they're a talented football team. Yes, they look like they're a team that's going to be around. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't be as scared to go into LA, in comparison to if I had to go into Philadelphia, or if I had to go into Minnesota, or if I had to go into New Orleans. These are legitimate, big-time home field advantages. Those are buildings that you don't want to go into in the playoffs. You don't want to go into those buildings if you don't have to. It's not Lambeau. So, if I'm a team, I'm not as scared to go into LA as I would be those other teams, those other places that I mentioned. I would not be as scared. Obviously, you know, you want to have home field advantage, if any and all possible. But at the end of the day, if I got to go into LA, I'm not scared. I'm not as scared. I'm not. So, but the Rams, even as good as they are, you can score some points on that football team. You can definitely score some points on that team. And I know they brought in a lot of different players. You know, they brought in some guys in this offseason to help fortify that defense. But I'm looking at that defense, and I'm looking at this team, and I'm like, I'm not too afraid. I'm looking at a team that's giving up almost 20 points a game. Not awful. Not an awful metric at all. But I look at a team that where you can do some things against them. You can do some things against this Rams defense. In Seattle, put up 31 to be exact, against this Rams defense. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, and that Minnesota team, they were going up and down and up and down and up and down the field against that Rams defense. So if I'm the Rams, I mean, if I'm teams like Philly or other teams, I'm not super scared of this Rams team because defensively, they're not the greatest. they're not the greatest defensively. They're a team I believe that you can make some plays on. You can make some plays against that defense. I'm not saying the defense is garbage, because they're not. But there's plays to be made against that defense. You know, you bring in a Marcus Peters. You know, you bring in Ndamukong Suh. Talib, who's hurt. But you bring in all these guys, and, you know, obviously you bring in those guys with the hope, with the thought that those guys would help and, you know, fortify your defense and make your defense better. And I'm not saying this Rams defense is garbage, because they're not. But what I am saying is, at this point in the year, if I had to go into L.A. and face the Rams in the playoffs, I'm not as nervous. I'm not. That's not a home. That's not a big-time home field advantage in Los Angeles. It's not. It's not Philly. It's not Minnesota. It's not New Orleans. It's not Chicago. It's not Green Bay. They don't have that kind of home field advantage with the Rams. So I think if I'm a team in the NFC, whether I'm the Saints, whether I'm Philly, Carolina, you know, I'm not afraid to go into Los Angeles. Yes, they're talented. Yes, their offense is built to make a lot of plays. And yes, defensively, they have some talent there. But their defense isn't stifling. And they don't have a big-time home field advantage. So if I'm a team in the NFC, and the NFC at this point, you know, other than the Rams who you know, jumped out, and the Saints as well, I'm not super afraid. I'm not super afraid. But we'll see. We're going to bring in a guy now who's not afraid at all. Big-time career. Let's bring him in. Hall of Famer, Willie Rowe. Willie.
Bro, how you doing?
Good, you?
Good, doing good.
So, let's get right down to it. Your Chiefs, 5-0, about to head into New England, Foxborough, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and all those boys. They were 5-0 last year. So, the Chiefs were 5-0 last year. Then it just all fell apart. They lost six of their next seven games, and they had to scrap to get into the playoffs. Ultimately, they would win the AFC West. Looking at the team, 5-0 last year, 5-0 this year. Will this 5-0 be a little different?
Yeah, oh yeah, this is a way different team. The way they spread the ball around, it's better. I think last year you had a couple. You got to remember you had Ed Berry's been out this year. You had Derek Johnson, all time one of the best linebackers ever played in for the Chiefs in the NFL, who is not with the team anymore. You got Ali that's gone. The defense is starting to play better. They got so many weapons on offense. Alex Smith could run, but he was dinking and dumping a lot last year, and he did have a real good game against the Patriots. But Mahomes is a different animal out there, and it's gonna be a tough game in Foxborough, but they're not gonna win seven in a row. They're gonna be right there fighting for home field advantage, I think, at the end of the year.
So, looking at this Chiefs team and looking at their quarterback, Pat Mahomes, you know, there was a debate ESPN earlier this week about Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes. If you had to choose between one of those two guys this year, who would you take?
For the whole year, for one game?
For the whole year. This year, Brady at 40, Pat Mahomes, first-year starter at this point in their careers. If you had to pick which quarterback you would have to lead you this year, who would you pick?
That's a real tough question. I mean, if you said a playoff run or, you know, with a certain line, you know, Brady doesn't move around that much anymore. Mahomes can improvise on the run. So, you know, if it was especially a young team or a team that needed more help at that position, I would say I would take Mahomes. But if you're talking about a veteran team with a lot of good players, you know, that's ready to make a run, I would probably say Brady. But if you're just saying in general, just for youth and a team, I would probably, in that situation, I would probably say Mahomes.
Okay. I mean, and you know, obviously Pat Mahomes is off to a tremendous start. An amazing start He's playing some amazing football. But at some point, you would think he's going to play like a first-year starter. But do you see him playing like a first-year starter at some point? Do you see a guy at some point in time who's going to make a bunch of mistakes? Or do you see a guy who's ready for the moment and is big time and is ready and is going to do some big-time things?
Well, they had a little stumble block with Jacksonville. He threw two picks last week against Jacksonville. But we all know Jacksonville offense doesn't show up all the time, and the Chiefs defense shut him down, and Fournette's been hurt all year, and they need him back real bad. But, I mean, Jacksonville came to Arrowhead, and Mahomes didn't play his best game, but they still ended up playing a big game, and Jones, the D-tackle, picked the ball, picked it up, and ran it in and intercepted it. And so that defense stepped up big for him last week. And that's the best defense in the league, and they score a lot of points on them. I think it's going to be a big test to see what they can do. You don't want to get down on New England at home, but the Chiefs can score points real quick. But the New England don't want to get down on the Chiefs and try to play catch up with them. So, I mean, the Chiefs defense is getting better every week. So, I think he had – You know, he had a couple of turnovers last week. He hadn't had them all year, and he still ran one in and passed. He still found a way to help the team win, and still had a productive game. But you know, last week was a good test for him.
For sure, they definitely played some big time football against a big time defense. And look at this Patriots defense. I feel like there's going to be a lot of opportunities for this Kansas City offense to make some plays. It's going to be a great game. And it's going to be a big – we're going to learn a lot about the Chiefs. We're going to learn a lot about Pat Mahomes. I mean, so we'll definitely see what happens. Let me ask you this. We saw the New York Giants last night and an embarrassing game. Mm. You know, Eli Manning.
I missed that game. What happened? Did Eli play? Did he play that bad?
Eli was garbage. He was hot garbage. He didn't get a lot of protection, but when he had protection – he just didn't make the plays. Saquon Barkley was special. And Odell Beckham Jr., not a lot of plays last night as well. But going back to Odell Beckham, the Giants are a struggling football team at 1-5. You got Odell Beckham, you know, calling out his teammates. I mean, calling out, you know, the coaching staff, calling out Eli on some level. And he's got his money. So he's entrenched. He's going to be there. What are your thoughts on Odell Beckham in that interview with ESPN? Was he just a little too honest?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need to call out the quarterback like that. It's not just his fault. They went and paid Soldier a lot of money. You know, Eric Flowers just got released. He's been a disappointment, you know, at best, especially at left. And then they moved him to right tackle, and he wasn't doing anything. Then they even tried to move him to guard. So, you know, you draft a kid in the first round, you want to give him all the opportunities you can, but that line has just not been doing that well. I mean, the Giants were always known for having a good offensive line, run the ball, play action, but they would just maul you up front when you went up there, and they have to address that offensive line. I know Eli, they need to address the quarterback position, but I think it starts up front on both sides of the ball. Football starts up front, and they have to address that offensive line and figure out ways to keep – if they got to keep a tight end in or do something to make sure they're protected. But, you know, it's hard for Eli to play well when he's running for his life after the game.
For sure. But I think at this point, the Giants have to figure out their quarterback situation. Obviously, it's too late at this point in time, but they got to figure out that quarterback situation moving forward. And here's the thing with Odell. In the preseason, he was quiet, you know, came to camp, did all he had to do. Now he got his paper. You know, once you get your paper, you can talk a little bit. You got your money. You can talk a little bit. Just looking at Odell Beckham Jr. moving forward, is he a guy that you can have around in a winning situation? Is he just too emotional for his own good?
No, you know what? This year, I think he's been under control. All the antics on the sideline, some of the fighting. Remember with Josh Norman and all the stuff he was doing before the antics. I haven't seen him doing as much as that. You know, he's going to mature. I mean, this is his fourth, fifth year in the league. You know, he's got to be a leadership in that locker room. He's getting one of the highest paid players in the league now. So he did get his money, but, you know, you want that emotion if it's turning the right way. You don't want somebody emotional that wants to win. He wants to win. So I have no problem with it. As long as he's not getting into trouble and the antics and stuff he was doing in the course of the football game that was costing him, you know, going over the top, then I have no problem with him showing emotion. I think he wants to win. He's had some excellent football games. The game against Carolina, you know, and Barkley's a special talent. But like I said, they got some other issues they have to address. I don't know how well they will do this year, but that coaches, I mean, they got some issues that they have to solidify. But I have no problem with Odell Beckham, the way he's conducted himself this year. You know, those comments, you could say they shouldn't have been said, but off the field, Odell Beckham's never gotten in a lot of trouble. You know, he seems, you know, he's always in great shape. And I want him to be upset that the team's winning. I don't want guys to get paid and then just be happy, content with losing. You know, I'd rather them be upset that they're not winning.
And you look at Odell, he is 25 years old, and he's a special talent. He truly is a special talent, a special player. And I just think he just might be one of these guys who just has to be on the edge emotionally to be effective. He just has to be, you know, that type of guy and in order for him to be effective. And so at the end of the day, if his teammates are cool with it, at the end of the day, if he's not hurting the team, you know, obviously he hurt the team when you know, the whole situation with Josh Norman and everything, that was a few years ago. But at this point, if he's not hurting the team on the field, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. But you got to be careful off the field in terms of, you know, the comments that you make. You know, there's nothing wrong with being honest. There is something wrong with being too honest and telling too much. I mean, you can tell what you want to tell, but you can't tell too much. And I think in that particular interview with ESPN and everything, he probably said and told a little too much. And so,
I think, Paul, he was trying to light a fire in the team, and they responded, and that's what he said. If we're going to come out here and we're going to get this type of effort and it takes the 63-yarder to beat us, then, you know, so I think the comments were more to light a fire under the team and get them going, and you shouldn't have to do that. And then you come back this week, and we were traveling, but, you know, they don't even show up at home against Philadelphia, who was a rival conference game, and you get beat like that, then, I mean, that's not – you got some other issues going on outside of Odell Beckham when you go out there and the team performs like that on that stage on Thursday Night Football. I know it was a short week, and they were traveling. But, you know, I mean, that's tough for them to play in Carolina and come back on a short week in the game. It was that type of game. But, you know, they basically didn't show up for that game. So I don't think that's on Odell that the team didn't play well Thursday.
We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. And so Willie, we saw Drew Brees, you know, all-time leader in NFL history in passing yards, broke the record, you know, passed Peyton Manning. Drew Brees is still a big-time quarterback, 39 years old, and putting up some big-time numbers. Your thoughts just on Drew Brees in terms of him breaking that record?
I think it's great. I think Drew Brees has always been an overachiever. Drew Brees, from the time he left Purdue, from the time he left high school outside Austin, Texas, not getting recruited to some of those schools, UT, and having to go to Purdue, and then for him getting drafted by San Diego, and, you know, and then them bringing somebody in and hurting his shoulder going to New Orleans, he's always had to prove something. And Drew takes great care of himself. He's a great guy. And he's just consistent. He comes to work every day. The teammates love him. You know, he does a lot of great things in the community. So, you know, Drew Brees is. It looks like he's got a lot more football left in him too. The way he's playing this year. So, I think you know, New Orleans knows how special he is and how special they were to get him in that situation, because he easily could have ended up with the Dolphins, and, you know, they're physical with the shoulder, and he ended up going to New Orleans. So I know, I mean, they're so glad to have gotten him, because, you know, from the 06 to now, I mean, it's been some great years with him and Sean Payton together.
Let me ask you this. And you know, I think a lot of people, you know, in terms of Drew Brees and the all-time greats, I mean, I think in this era, a lot of people look at Brady, and even rightfully so. I think he is in a class by himself in this particular era. But a lot of people talk about Aaron Rodgers, but I think we forget about Drew Brees. And if we compare Drew Brees' career to Aaron Rodgers' career, I mean, both of them won a Super Bowl. Both of them, you know, pretty much have the same kind of playoff record. I think Drew Brees is one game over 500 in the playoffs, and Aaron Rodgers is two games over 500 in the playoffs. I mean, looking at these two guys, at this point in their careers, Aaron Rodgers 14 years in, Drew Brees 18 years in, who do you feel has had the better career?
Did Aaron Rodgers play another Super Bowl or just one Super Bowl?
I believe he just played that one, just that one.
Yeah, you know, all those guys. I got them all. I look at the rings. And so, Brett Favre, Drew Brees, all of Aaron Rodgers, they're all in, you know, they're in the same category. You know, Peyton's got two. So, you got to put Peyton, you know, because he's got two with two different teams. You know, obviously, if you start talking about Steve Young, I mean, Joe Montana's got four. You know, Bradshaw, I don't think he's a better quarterback, but Bradshaw's got four. Tom Brady, of course. So I got Drew Brees in the same company with Aaron Rodgers. They both got one ring. You know, I think they both want another one. If Drew got another one, man, that would be great for him. But I got Drew Brees right there with Aaron Rodgers and Brett and all those guys. I think he's one of the all-time greats. Now, Tom Brady, he's been the seven Super Bowls and won five of them. So,
five of them.
I mean, that's a whole nother league. So,
yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you talk about Drew Brees and him being an overachiever and the things that he was able to accomplish, you know, all the doubts that a lot of people had about him in terms of his size, you know, all the doubts that people had about him after the shoulder. I mean, he proved everybody wrong. And this guy is put up a tremendous career. And he has the Saints at 4-1 at this point. And in the NFC, which I believe is wide open, I think we have to talk about the Saints on some level in terms of a Super Bowl, getting to a Super Bowl or have a chance to get to a Super Bowl. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I think they're one of the teams that we have to talk about in the NFC with the way Drew Brees is playing.
Oh, yeah. And the defense is going to get better. And those big guys up front are playing better. They're putting pressure on the quarterback. They got Jenkins, the big kid they drafted a couple years ago, is healthy this year. You know, he's playing good. So they got some talent on that up front. In the secondary is where they got to clean it up some, and they have some issues sometimes. But, I mean, let's be honest, Paul. I mean, that game the Redskins played last week, I've seen better coverage than 707 in practice, with just the DBs and the quarterback and the receivers without the offensive line. I mean, they weren't even covering some of those guys. I don't know what they were doing, but the way the Washington Redskins played in that game and the lack of coverage, guys running wide up and down the field, I mean, that will get a coach fired. I mean, you can't have guys running that wide open in the NFL and not even being covered. That one to break the record right before the half, I mean, the kid's running wide open. Nobody's even near him. I don't know what the Redskins were doing, but that wasn't NFL football. I mean, they were just running up and down the field, and some of those guys weren't even being covered. I mean, I don't know what they were doing.
and you know, Josh Norman ended up getting benched in that particular game for the Washington Redskins. So, I mean, the Saints are definitely a team that we're going to have to talk about in the NFC. Philadelphia is a team we're going to talk about. Rams, of course, you know, maybe Chicago, Carolina as well. But the Saints are definitely a team that we're going to have to watch out for. And Drew Brees, You know, you talk about off to a good start. How about 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in five games? So this guy is balling at this point.
And that offensive line, let's give credit to that offensive line. I mean, Teron Armstead is dominating this year. That offensive line is playing well. They're run blocking. They got Mark Ingram back, the screen game and everything. But let's give some credit to that offensive line. Pete was back in the lineup at left guard last week. You got Ramchek, the kid over at right tackle. That offensive line the Saints have is really playing well. They're putting on a show every week. I mean, Drew Brees didn't even get in touch sometime, and he sure didn't get in touch. I mean, I've been watching Teron, and I think this is his year to make the Pro Bowl, to probably make first-team All-Pro. Teron Armstead is playing at an All-Pro level. You got a couple of linemen that are playing at a Pro Bowl level. Cameron Jordan's playing at an All-Pro level again. So, like I said, the secondary needs to keep getting better, but, I mean, that offensive line for the Saints is really playing some good football, and that's where it starts up front.
For sure. And Drew Brees is clean, and he's making a lot of plays, and the Saints are off to a 4-1 start. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rofin. Willie, obviously you're doing some big things, frame your game. You got a lot of things going on there. Talk about some of the things you got going on with frame your game.
Well, we're just trying to make sure the fans know about it, especially in New Orleans. People see him going around. You know, I got Ricky Jackson on his gas trucks, and the fans can go to frameyourgame.com. They know and go to Fanatics or go to NFL Shop. We're also on Bed Bath & Young. But, you know, we'll have some more stuff coming in the future. Be looking for us being in some different venues soon in the future. And we're also in a bunch of stadiums. So the fans listening for the Denver Broncos or the Seattle or the Meadowlands or Pittsburgh, you can go to the or Kansas City, you can go to the team store and you'll see the helmets on the shelves. But go to frameyourgame.com and go down to Fanatics. And right now they're on a good sale too. They're for sale right now, and they can find it. And we still want them to keep buying and putting their helmet on game day like the team does.
Sure. So Fanatics.com, FansEdge, NFLShop.com, Bed Bath & Beyond, and, of course, FrameYourGame.com. So you got a lot of different places to get your hands on this merchandise. And it's not just NFL. Got some college as well, college products out there. So, you know, if you're a USC graduate, Auburn, Oklahoma, LSU, I mean, Alabama, you know, there's opportunities for you to show your fandom, opportunities for you to support a great product and put a great product on your car. I mean, so definitely.
Well, put it in your house. Or get the plate or put it in your house.
For sure. Put it in your man cave. And I'm on here right now. I'm on here right now, and I'm looking at the Philly special. Nick Foles, you know, that'd be great in a man cave situation. You know, Nick Foles catching that ball. Philadelphia Eagles winning that first Super Bowl. It looks beautiful. So definitely some places where you can, you know, show your fandom and go to frameyourgame.com. Go there. NFLShop.com, Bed Bath & Beyond, FansEdge, and Fanatics.com. So go to all those different places. Before we get out of here, the NBA season is about to start next week. Any thoughts in terms of how do you see the NBA Finals at this point? Have you thought about it? Are you still thinking about it? How do you see it?
I haven't really thought about the Finals. I'm looking forward to watching the Lakers and seeing that young team and the way they play. I still think the Warriors are, especially with Boogie Cousins, are far and above better. Got the potential to be better than everybody. It'll be interesting to see what teams make what moves during the year. I'll be watching New Orleans real closely to see what happens with them, with the Pelicans and Anthony Davis. But I'm looking forward to seeing Philly. You know, Philly's gonna look good. You know,
for sure.
See if that kid Fultz gets better. They're gonna be tougher. I want to see what Houston does. But can somebody come after and get after the Warriors? And who's gonna take over in the East with, you know, Toronto? So it's going to be interesting this year with LeBron going away from the East to the West. But we'll see what the Lakers can do. But other than that, I want to see what teams step up in the East and see how that all plays out.
And I will say about this NBA season, unlike, you know, other NBA seasons, this is legitimately wide open. You could say Boston in the East, but you also can make an argument for Philly. You could also make an argument for Toronto in the East. I mean, those are some decent basketball teams, talented basketball teams. And in the West, it just does seem like it's going to be, you know, Golden State. But LeBron is out there, and the Lakers do have some young talent. I don't know if it'll be enough at this point. I don't know if it's ready at this point to do anything differently or do anything special in terms of a title. But I think they're going to be around. I think that team will definitely be around. I mean, I think OKC is going to be a team that's going to be around. Houston, obviously, is going to be around. And it looks like Golden State, Houston, to me, that in the Western Conference, we'll see who else steps up to the plate. But just looking at it right now, it seems like Golden State and Houston. And we'll see, you know, what Houston does. In terms of them, you know, I like Melo, but I also like what they had with Bamute and Trevor Ariza as well. I like the chemistry that they had. I like what those guys brought on the defensive end. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. I can't wait. Next Wednesday gets all started. And it should be a lot of fun. I know you're a basketball guy, so it's going to be fun, man.
And we got Terrence Crawford tomorrow on ESPN, Paul. So let's be watching to see how Terrence looks on ESPN tomorrow.
For sure, definitely. I'll be watching that as well. Got to love the fight game. And hopefully if he can keep on winning and Errol Spence can keep on winning, hopefully those two can collide at some point in time, which would be a lot of fun. Real quick, I know you're a boxing guy. Mayweather Pacquiao, too. Would you want to see that? There is talks that it could possibly happen.
I guess I want to see it. I don't know how much I want to pay for it.
Okay, that's fair.
At this point, you know, they're both 40, you know.
I'd pay. I think I'd still pay at this point, but that's more so for intrigue. But, you know, I can see people not wanting to.
I'd rather see Mayweather fight Errol Spence.
I'd rather see something like that, too, but.
But I don't think he'll do that.
No, I don't think so either. If he's smart, he won't do it. Willie, appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hall of Famer Willie Rofe. Talking a little NFL. Make sure you check him out. His product, frameyourgame.com. A lot of great things on that particular website. So go out there and support it for your car, your man cave, a lot of things that can be serviced on frameyourgame.com.